WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, June 30th. Coming up, the U.S. is caught in a critical shortage of a drug doctors need for some of their most vulnerable patients. The need for more contact media, coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's not gloating after candidates backed by his Republican billionaire nemesis lost. Dave McKinney has more.
Tuesday's GOP gubernatorial primary had been categorized as a battle between billionaires, Pritzker on one side and hedge fund founder Ken Griffin on the other. Last fall, Griffin made a splash saying he was all in defeating Pritzker this year and put $50 million behind one Republican candidate to do that. But Griffin's choice for governor failed miserably Tuesday. In a post-election sit-down with WBEZ, Pritzker says if a fight exists between the two, Griffin is the one who started it.
If he's somehow taking it personally, or if he's in, you know, feeling that he needs to attack people, that's not on me, that's on him.
The candidates Griffin backed for Attorney General and Secretary of State also lost Tuesday. This is Dave McKinney.
The state of Illinois has a new tool to help law enforcement trace and track illegal guns. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul says the new digital platform will allow police to identify the people illegally selling firearms.
We know we don't grow guns in the city of Chicago or in a lot of municipalities that suffer the worst gun violence. They're coming from somewhere, and so we're after not only the person that pulls the trigger, but the person that makes sure that the shooter gets the gun.
The information driving the new Crime Gun Connect platform is from federal records, but those are all paper-based. Raoul says the state digitized more than 100,000 gun tracing records dating back to 2009. It was a costly election cycle, especially for one race that garnered national attention. Illinois Newsroom's Harrison Malkin reports.
First-term Congresswoman Mary Miller defeated fellow incumbent Rodney Davis on Tuesday night in a contentious 15th District Republican primary. In a post-election speech, Miller said, "We took on the swamp and special interests in D.C., and we won, but it was a race rife with outside spending from political action committees. Over $12 million in outside spending was involved in the Davis-Miller race, the second priciest congressional race in the country." That's data according to Open Secrets, a nonpartisan organization that tracks campaign spending. Both Davis and Miller raise more out-of-state than in-state money. I'm Harrison Malkin, Illinois Newsroom.
The race for the Republican nomination in Illinois' 2nd congressional district remains too close to call. The Associated Press says Iroquois County Board Member Thomas Lynch leads former State Senator Shane Coultra by less than 400 votes, with nearly 98% of ballots counted. Lynch has just over 37% of the vote, with Coultra at nearly 36%. Ashley Ramos of Bradley is in third place with about 27% of the vote. The winner of the Republican primary will face incumbent Democrat Robin Kelly in November. The newly drawn 2nd district includes Danville and Kankakee and stretches north to the far southeast side of Chicago. Still to come, we'll learn more about contact media and why a shortage of it is a big problem for healthcare providers. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
In the 19th century British drama, Jamaica Inn, orphan Mary Yellen arrives to live with her aunt in Cornwall and quickly discovers all is not what it seems. She must resist being drawn into the inn's dangerous world of smuggling and other criminal activity. When she falls for the petty thief Jem Merlin, her morals become conflicted and she is uncertain who she can trust. You can stream this and other acclaimed period dramas as Friends of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's time for a look at the latest in health policy news from SideFX Public Media's partner, Tradeoffs.
The U.S. is caught in a critical shortage of a drug doctors need for some of their most vulnerable patients. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Tradeoffs. The drug known as contrast media helps doctors diagnose a heart attack or stroke. They use the injectable liquid to plan surgeries, evaluate cancer, or find a source of internal bleeding. U.S. clinicians perform some 50 million scans using contrast media each year. But right now, about 50% of hospitals nationwide are rationing the drug because of a manufacturing problem in China. drug shortages are common. Trade-Off's producer Andrea Perdomo found that contrast media is just one of several thousand drugs that's experienced a shortage over the last two decades. Andrea, shortages of medical equipment and drugs have dominated headlines during COVID. What's driving the problem with contrast media?
Well, first, it's important to note that 90% of the country's supply of the drug comes from just two companies, GE Healthcare and Bracco Imaging. Back in April, GE said a COVID-related shutdown of its factory in Shanghai would disrupt deliveries. So if you're thinking, why don't hospitals just buy contrast media from the other company in the meantime, it's really not that simple. Both companies make just enough, really, to fulfill orders in real time, and they rarely have a surplus to sell.
How is the shortage impacting patient care? Like, how are hospitals adapting?
Well, based on our own reporting and other news stories, patients are having image testing for things like cancer or elective surgeries rescheduled. And of course, hospitals are rationing. Chief Medical Officer at the University of Alabama Birmingham Hospital, Kirsten Kennedy, told me they reduced their use of contrast media by 90% so that they would have enough for urgent cases like people having a stroke or victims of car accidents. But to do that, though, Kirsten says she's had to ask doctors to diagnose non-urgent patients without using the dye.
We do more studies than we typically would have, or the time from the patient presenting to us getting the diagnosis and starting the treatment is longer than it usually would be. And that, to me, is not ideal. And it's not what we want for our patients.
Unfortunately, what's happening with contrast media keeps happening, right? The U.S. medical supply chain seems pretty vulnerable to these chronic disruptions.
That's right, Dan. Since 2001, we've had more than 100 drug shortages each year. Really, the issue seems to be that the FDA has an information problem, essentially not enough insight into production disruptions and quality issues. The FDA says 62%, more than half, of drug shortages are because of quality problems like metal shavings in a drug vial or some kind of potency issue. And the people buying the drugs, pharmacists, doctors, and hospitals, don't know the quality of what they're buying.
Got it. So, Andrea, where do we go from here?
Well, the FDA actually has a rating system that grades drug manufacturers on quality, but it's not public. One national expert I spoke to said if Congress made that information public and we knew a little bit more about where companies manufacture these products, we'd be able to cut shortages by 30 to 50%. And again, we're seeing about 100 new drug shortages every year. Here's the thing, Dan. There's no predicting when someone gets sick. And if you need a drug in a crisis, but that hospital doesn't have it because of a shortage, that could be a really bad situation to find yourself in.
Andrea Perdomo, thank you so much for your reporting on this.
Thanks, Dan.
For more on how UAB has navigated the contrast media shortage and what Congress can do to reduce drug shortages, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.
Find more health news from Trade-Offs, Side Effects Public Media, and WILL at IllinoisNewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard is off this week. The National Weather Service says it will be sunny and hot today with a high of 92 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Reginald Hardwick, Harrison Malkin, and Dan Gorenstein. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.